Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is new media.
Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hanger. Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hanger.
Now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Today is Wednesday, July 11th. My name is Jim. I am the hand to the king of all social media of internet radio, Lord Eddard Geik. Your grace, good evening. How are you, sir?
Good evening. Oh, I am doing well, sitting atop my social media empire in downtown Lake Ronkonkoma. Wow. That's all I could say is wow. Living here is it's like a giant truck stop, basically, this town that I live in. That's right. I'm doing well, Jim. Thank you. Can I get an amen about all the minor league signings? That's right. We got ourselves Sean Collins.
Sorry.
I went
looking for another quote.
We got ourselves a Brandon Siegel. Brandon Siegel. All right. Well, we got a lot of AHL stuff. No big deal has been done yet. Although there was one guy on the internets, the Twitters, the interwebs, the interchannels that set the social media empire afire, ablaze, at least the Ranger section of it, with a false trade rumor. It turned out to be a social experiment. But other than that, there's a lot of minor things. I think there's certainly enough to fill an hour's worth to talk about. Again, you are the hand. You are the man that guides me. My advice steers me. So I don't know where you want to start first. I want to thank him for his service as a New York Ranger, Ruslan Fedotenko. I really liked you. You were a good Ranger. You went to the Philadelphia Flyers. I almost said the Phillies. Jesus. Wish you would have went somewhere else. Really want to see you 6 or 7 times during the year. And I believe this is where Fedotenko started out. Isn't that correct, Jim?
I believe you are correct, sir. You are correct, sir.
Now, I was... Remember, I had been talking about at the end of the year that, you know, they had to say goodbye to Fedotenko. You know, he's getting a little bit old, this and that, you know. He's good for 8 to 10 goals. Third line guy, they needed to get younger. But, you know, I was thinking about it this week, Jim. Since they've added some guys to kind of take his role, and although they've been a little bit cheaper, you know, when it comes down to it, I would have just kept Fedotenko at this point. I mean, when you're talking about the Jeff Halpern. I know Halpern, and people are going to argue he's good on faceoffs. The guy was a healthy scratch against the Rangers, as I remember, in the Capitol series. So,
few of the games.
What?
A few of the games he was. But well, Halpern wasn't a direct replacement for Fedotenko because Halpern's a center, Fedotenko's a winger. But
you know,
you know
what I'm talking about, like the Pyatt, yeah. the you know. But
well, if they've essentially replaced Mitchell, Fedotenko, and Prust with Admiral Piette and Aaron Asham and Halpern. So
well,
like you said, they got cheaper. I mean, Fedotenko, they weren't paying Fedotenko. We got 1.75 from the Flyers. They weren't paying him that.
But come on, is that outrageous? I mean, the guy's like a 15-year veteran. I mean, you know, whatever he is. I mean, you got to make it over $1 million if you've been in this league for quite a while.
Yeah, but...
I'm all right with it.
I'm all right. These guys are, these guys are interchangeable. Ranger fans are just going nuts over these fourth-line signings. And I don't know if that's because of the impatience or if they're just too worked up over these marginal guys.
Well, they're gutting a lot of the AHL. I guess they're revamping the whole AHL team. They made a lot of AHL moves. They got Sean Collins, defenseman in the Capitals. He'll probably be in the A. Like I mentioned in my little sermon there, the Brandon Siegel. I think he's going to be a replacement for Andre DeVoe. Bell Biv DeVoe. Gone for the Panthers.
Get out of here.
Get out of here, you bum. Well, I really, I don't know. The time that Andre DeVoe was here and before he got a suspension, I didn't think he was that bad. Like,
oh my gosh, no.
I mean, I'm not going to lose any sleep that Bell Biv DeVoe is gone.
Oh my gosh, no.
But I don't know. They brought in other guys to replace.
Bye bye.
Exactly.
Bye bye.
Even John McLaughlin, from the McLaughlin Report, agrees with me. So.
Good riddance to DeVoe. I was waiting
now
for that.
You know.
Bell Biv DeVoe, now you go. Good riddance, as my king would say. Good riddance to bad garbage, to bad rubbish. Gone.
So,
bye. It's time to get rid of these mediocre AHL players so we can bring in cheaper mediocre AHL players. It is a complete colonoscopy of the Connecticut Whale. Do you know what the best part of these recent signings are? Specifically one, what is this dude's name? Specifically Mr. Brandon Siegel and Mr. Jeff Halpern.
They're Jews.
They're Jewish. And that gives me an excuse to do this.
To know that the Lions only eat Christians, and I am a Jew.
Everybody
else. Jewish person. Yes, I can prove it. Watch
Come
this.
On, Howie.
Everybody, I'm Jewish, I'm telling you. Call the temple. Call around.
So not only are we signing Jewish we're signing fourth liners that can't play on Saturdays. How many Saturday games do we have? These guys are gonna be healthy scratches.
Well,
healthy schmutzes.
We'll see. But this, you know, I mean, I don't know if they're going to put us. Well, what we start the season off in Palestine or something? I mean, when are we getting all these Jewish people for? We've been moved to the Hezbollah division. I kid. I'm a goyim, so I have no right to say anything.
I'm an honor to you.
So you had a lot of this AHL stuff, the retooling, the bada bing, bada bing, and they had the prospect camp while we were away. Rangers side, the Kyle Jean, Kyle Jean, I don't know how you say his name.
Kyle Jean, the dancing machine?
Kyle Jean, the dancing machine, apparently had a great prospect camp, showed everybody everything, and then McElrath went to hit him, and McElrath dislocated his kneecap. So we signed the guy that got McElrath there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so Dylan McElrath, you haven't heard, had to have surgery on his dislocated kneecap. That's one you don't hear too much. And everybody is, you know, going, oh, McElrath, this is a setback again, you know, blah, 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 blah. Calm down, everybody. We're going to see. McElrath is going to spend a whole year in the AA. I don't think he's going to miss any time. So that's with that. And then Jeff Bookaboom got the assistant coach job, replaced J.J. Daniel. Down with the Whale, or whatever they're going to call him next year. He's going to be down there, and I think that's a good move. And I think it's going to be a, you know, I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon. And we all have been kind of comparing McElrath to a Jeff Bookaboom type player. And under the tutelage of Jeff Bookaboom, it could get any better. I mean, I know Jeff's done some coaching with Sudbury and some other teams in juniors. So maybe he can get McElrath and give him some pointers. I don't know. I think Dylan's on the right path. I don't see injuries ruining his career. People freaking out already. So that we got a lot of things happen in the minor leagues.
Yes.
A couple other things with the big club. Stu Bickel got re-signed. I think I'm happy about that. $750,000?
Better with Bickel.
$750,000.
I like that.
He's back. He's back.
You guys
baby.
Like that signing? I think he's better than Emminger. Emminger. We like that sign. Yeah, he's gone, so.
Yeah, he's gone. Good play.
Yeah.
Good signing. Cheap.
He's cheap. What are you going to do? The guy's
all about there at winger. He can take face-offs.
You start with the winger.
Backup goaltender.
May need one. Cam Talbot's your number one goalie prospect. Someday they'll have to address that. And that garbage can Huron. Don't even get me started with that guy. They also re-signed Chris Newberry, Lobster Newberry, one of our faves. 2 years.
Clown.
Exactly. What is it? Who is he blowing in the organization? Terrible.
They're really building a dynasty up in Connecticut, aren't they?
They really are. I mean, that's just unbelievable. Getting back to the minors, too. Logan Pyatt, a defenseman, 24 years old. I heard he's got a good slap shot. Big freaking deal. Because they lost Brendan Bell. They had to go out and get a defenseman.
Do you want to hear the awesome write-up on that Logan Admiral Pyatt?
Yes.
This is great. Positives, right? Okay skater with decent lateral movement and balance. Good heavy shot, offensively skilled, but no flair. Makes the safe play, good intensity and determination. Now, in my opinion, when your positives have to include the words okay, decent, and safe, you got problems. I love his negatives. Undersized for his position, he possesses no elite level skills. Mm-hmm. Defensively inconsistent, needs to improve his skating. So he's it's great. I love it. I love the.
Well, now, if you go back to what you said, to be devil's advocate here, you went back towards the end of his description. It said he shows what? Tenacity,
Determination.
Determination makes good first.
I got a toaster that shows determination.
Yeah, but if you're talking about things that Tortorella likes, likes determination, he makes the safe play. What was the other thing?
Good intensity.
Good intensity. That's what Torts wants. They'll work on it. They've made some pretty like mediocre defensemen serviceable.
Yeah, right. I know, but I
get
write ups. You know, it's like that. Except for the fact that he's too small, has no skills, he's inconsistent, and he can't skate. It's a great signing.
What a signing! Now. Let's get to the big club. Let's get to the thing that's been bothering me all week. We have way too many forward. That fourth line could be anything. And what annoys me is that I think Boyle should be on the fourth line, but now he's almost assured a third line spot. Who's going to play, Jim? You got Jeff Halpern. You've got Pyatt, who could be vying for a position. You've got Aaron Asham. You've got Rupp. You got James Earl Haley there, the guy down, whatever that guy's name is.
Bill Haley.
Bill Haley in the Comets. You got the great Casey Wellman, who was acquired last year. You got a lot of guys that are going to be vying for that position, which I think is good.
Lobster Newberry still in the mix.
Lobster Newberry in the mix. You got a lot of dudes.
Going to roll and, eight lines.
I mean, and some of these guys, like Rupps, you know, he's getting paid, not a crazy amount, but he's getting paid a chunk of change. I think Halpern will make it because he'll be good on faceoffs. He's going to, like everybody's been saying, and you saw adeptly pointed out, that he's going to be the John Mitchell replacement.
Yeah, and just to give you an idea, the Rangers were 18th in the league on faceoffs, and they got the guy who I believe was fourth in the league on faceoffs. I think that was fourth. Yeah, I think he was fourth in the league or something.
Oh,
like
good. Then I'm a little bit more happier. I was happy, but I'm a little bit more happier that you pointed that out.
William is like fifth in the league, and I'll take that.
Like Adam from Chicago just pointed out, Guy Carboneau was not available.
Right.
Faceoffs.
Nor was Kelly Kissio or Craig McTavish.
Right. So we, I think that certainly was a good signing. $700,000, that's a bargain. But I'm having a problem with that fourth line with Asham and Rupp. Are they both going to play? Apparently, these guys have been, I don't know. These guys are NHLers. These aren't guys that go to the AHL, I don't think. I think it'd be a very competitive camp, and I think it's like some of the chatters in the chat room already hinted. These minor low-budget moves, I really do think that the Rangers are going to do something. They have to do something, I think. Now, we got the Mr. French is coming out with line comments. You know how much I love them in July. He's got Pyatt with Boyle and Isimov. Boy, a lot of goals there. And the fourth line is Rupp, Halpern, and Asham.
Oh. Yeah, where's Doobie go?
Moisha, as my friends would say.
What was that?
Moisha.
No. Pyatt, Boyle, and Anisimov, Rupp, Halpern, and Asham. The goal a month line.
Holy cow. That's an improvement? I don't know, guys. I just think it's a lot of guys. It's too many guys. And I'm hearing the people think this guy Haley might have a shot at making this team. I went on the show last week and said when he plays for the Rangers, I won't watch the game. He's tainted with Islander crap all over him. He's been in Bridgeport. He's been in those ridiculous Islander uniforms. He's tainted. Getting agitated already. The season hasn't even started.
Well, you know.
You said this last year, too. Too many forwards. You said that last year.
Well, I think everybody was... last year we were talking about Avery and whether he deserved a spot. Well, I think it was a little bit... We may not have gotten to that at this point, but we... Yeah, I understand you send them down, you scratch them, but all these guys are like... Man, Mr. French just pointed out the third line. That third line sucks. Hey, Brian Boyle.
They roll that third line out there for the first game in Palestine come October. You guys are going to be pissed. We want three savage Jews on that fourth line.
I mean, Jeff Halpert is not exactly, I know he's going to be a fourth line guy, but he's not exactly lighting it up in his career. And Rupp and Ash, Rupp's done.
You know, you're mentioning all these forwards, and what if JT Miller makes a push in camp?
Exactly.
Andrew Yogan, or who's the other one? Who's the other guy that John Fogarty? You know, what if one of those guys makes a push to get it in a lineup? Then we're back.
There's always a guy or two that impresses in camp. You know, what if Christian Thomas?
Him. Forgot about him, too. So, Michael Saint-Croix. Forgot about him. Ethan Werrick.
I don't think he's signed yet. I don't think the Rangers have signed him yet. They're waiting to break the 300-point mark to start negotiations with him. No. Rangers are right on top of things. I'm secretly pissed they let Jam go. They got all these freaking losers. They let the guy that proved in the NHL as a free agent, as a pickup, he did good. Whatever his name is. Janice, Audie Marchessault, whatever his name is over there. Anyway, whatever. There's a lot of minor complaints, other than major, but we're still waiting. Like you said, Jim, what is it, 4 or 5 months this Nash crap has been going on.
Yeah.
It's getting old. We're getting a little antsy. We're getting a little ornery over here.
And you know what? I'm so sick of hearing about this dipshit GM in Columbus, Housen, with his demands. I'm starting to think this guy in the Columbus, I think it's the Dispatch, Portsline. I think he's just a mouthpiece for this Housen guy, because one minute he's saying these are his demands, and then the next minute he's saying that Housen's saying these aren't his demands. You know what Glenn Sather ought to do when he wakes up? He ought to call Housen and say, what do you want for Nash? And when he tells him, say, all right, give me 5 minutes and I'll call you back. And then call Anaheim and make a deal for Ryan instead. Then call Housen back and say, you know what, give me 15 more minutes, I'll call you back. And then go announce the deal for Ryan and tell Housen to go fuck himself live on TSN. Hey, Housen.
Exactly.
Hey, Housen, go fuck yourself.
How about Dolan buys Columbus? What has this Housen ever done? I got to get it. What do I got to hear here? What has he done?
Yeah,
Rob Fettutin from us?
Not exactly. You're not dealing with...
this guy sucks.
That's Scotty Bowman here. It's not Glenn Sather in his heyday. When he
signed Jeff Carter to this ridiculous contract. He gets shipped off and wins a Stanley Cup. I mean, this guy is not running a great... I don't know. Come on. Columbus is in financial ruin. And this guy's playing, power broker with us. We're the Rangers. We take from you.
That's right.
You give us. We take. Take Dubinsky to pick. We'll take that salary right off your sorry ass. Ohio. Hockey in Ohio, please.
Speaking of hockey in Ohio, who's the one guy they got today? Sean Collins? He was a Cleveland Baron. How old is this guy?
No, he ain't that. Probably a minor league. Sure, he wasn't playing with Rick Hampton and Dennis Farouk of the Barons.
Dennis Farouk. Yeah, the Cleveland Barons of the NAHL. The nincompoops and assholes hockey league.
I don't know. This Housen's got to fight. This is like the biggest media splash he's ever going to make, is negotiating with us.
Yeah.
What have you heard? Let's talk about this kid that sent out this thing. Tell me, right. you. I know I was introduced as a social media king, but you really are. So what happened? What went on? Fill me in.
Greg Cagliano, who, if you guys have been around long enough, you know that he's actually been on the show a couple of times, and he's a fringe blog. He's been on with us a couple of times. He does the Dave Maloney impersonation that I think is fairly funny, and you don't think it's funny at all. But anyway, you know, he's a blogger. He's a big Civil War guy. Anyway, he tweeted on Andrew
Cogliano.
That's the guy. Thank you, Frankie. Or is that Paulie? Thank you, Paulie. He tweeted Monday night that his sources informed him that the deal was going, the Rangers were getting Rick Nash, and it would be a done deal yesterday morning. He tweeted this, I guess about 10 o'clock East Coast time, maybe 11, something like that. And then he kept tweeting that he tweeted again that it was a player that nobody had mentioned in any deals, but it was an obvious name or something. I don't know. I couldn't remember. I can't remember the exact line of tweeting. But, you know, so he's going on and on about this. And the whole thing, I mean, it blew up. In a span of minutes, it blew up. Everybody in my timeline, and I follow almost 3,000 people. 90% of them are Ranger fans. Okay? Everybody was talking about this tweet. Now, he tweeted, I didn't read it anywhere. My source just called me. It will be announced tomorrow. Then he tweeted, the deal is going to include a player on NYR that no one has brought up yet but is so obvious. Then he tweeted, agreed upon in principle. Then he tweeted, it's what my sources tell me. They are close to the situation. Then that's all for tonight. Everyone involved is asleep except for the multiple players packing. At least draft picks don't carry luggage. Then right before he was done for the night, he even tweeted something about War of the Worlds, talking about the Orson Welles radio broadcast. He kind of dropped like an Easter egg in there. Now, if you go back and look at what he tweeted, he said, it's a player on the Rangers that no one has brought up yet, but is so obvious. How does he know who everybody's brought up? I mean, he was dropping hints in his tweets that he was full of shit. Okay? He had Twitter on fire Monday night. People were going nuts. I can't wait till tomorrow. This is finally going to be happening. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. Now, Greg tweeted me while this is all going on and told me it was all bullshit and it was all just an experiment. Now, he wanted me to help him, and I told him no, I wouldn't get involved, because even though I have zero credibility, when I tell you guys something, whether it's on the show or whether it's on Twitter or it's on Facebook, if it's something for real, I want you to believe me. You guys have a pretty good idea now when I tell you something and I'm full of shit about it. So I said, Greg, I said, I'm not getting involved. I said, I won't blow the lid. I said, you do what you got to do. I said, but I'm not getting involved. So I sat back and watched this all night long. And then as soon as I got up in the morning, I went, people were still talking about it, just waiting for TSN to come through and confirm this thing had happened. And then finally, Greg's posted a link, done deal. And here's the link. And it was a link to his site explaining what he was doing. And it was just, like I said, it was an experiment, his own little War of the Worlds. Do I agree with what he did? Different strokes for different folks. It's not what I would do. You know, I don't look to perpetuate a hoax on people, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people, whatever it is. He did it. Some people got a laugh out of it. Some people were tweeting him death threats because I saw them. Some people were telling, go kill yourself, go fuck yourself, go this yourself, go that yourself. Here's my take on the whole thing, okay? And I tweeted this yesterday. In situations like this, where they're all getting on his case, I think of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Who is more the fool or the fool that follows? He blatantly tells people on his blog he has no journalism aspirations, he has no sources, he's not an inside guy, he's just a schmuck with a blog. So, and not knowing who he is, why would all these people on Twitter just blindly believe what he tells them? That is why I told you guys on the... Thank you, Paulie. That is why I told you guys at the Facebook group yesterday, because you guys were talking about it, and I still wasn't going to blow the lid because I promised them I wouldn't, okay? But I did tell you, if you don't hear it from TSN, don't believe it, because they're about the only credible people out there. They are the first ones with 99% of the breaking hockey news. So,
If Bob McKenzie is not tweeting it, or Drager. I think it was wrong. I know you know this guy. Maybe you don't have some kind of thing. I think it's a fucking stupid thing to do. Why get everybody in an uproar? It's just like, it's an attention whore move. And now the kid's got no credibility again, because I think he did something stupid on Blue Shirt Banner a while ago, either bashing Henrik. So, I don't know.
He said Henrik was overrated.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, and in other news, there is no other news. Actually, yeah, there is one other bit of news, which we can go into whenever you're ready, because that's my rant.
Go!
All right.
But go.
As we talked about in the group, and as I'm sure you all know by now, Henrik Lundqvist and his wife had their baby last night. I guess Henrik made the announcement on Twitter probably at about 9, 10 o'clock, I guess, East Coast time. And judging from the reactions that I saw on Twitter, you would think that the Messiah had descended from heaven. And I don't mean the bald, weepy captain. I'm talking about Jesus himself. The way people were acting. Ranger fans, I love you. I do this with Eddie every week for you, to be with you, but some of you are out of your fucking minds. People tweeting, I'm in tears. Henrik had his baby. I'm so happy for him.
What?
If I was a professional athlete, and it's a thing on Twitter that you have to say, you can't just say I'm in tears, you have to say real tears. And you have to put, it helps if you put it in caps, then people really know you're really crying. I mean, if I was a professional athlete and saw the way fans go on and on about my kids on Twitter, I'd be disturbed. I see Ranger fans talk about Dan Girardi's kid. Now I see them talking about Ryan Callahan's kid. I see them talking about now Henrik's kid. You know what? I understand these guys are athletes and they're in the spotlight and they're on Twitter and they like to interact with some of you. But when you start to, it gets a little, as a parent, I could tell it's a little creepy. If you guys had conversations on Twitter about my kids, I'd get a little creeped out by it. They're not part of your family. They're athletes. Admire them. Appreciate what they do. But when you start getting a little, you get too personal about their kids, it's creepy. It's really fucking creepy. I'm crying real tears. Why?
Well, let me extend on your rant. I have no children, and I plan on not having any children. Because, frankly, I don't like them that much.
There's something I need to
do. I mean, I like them, but, you know, when they're not mine, obviously. So here's the scoop. You got these morons out there crying real tears. Who gives a shit? I don't care if they've got a kid, how many kids. I don't care about Henrik's life. I don't care about his wife. I don't care about the baby. I don't care that it wasn't a boy. I don't care who we got a new goaltender in the family. I don't give a shit. I don't care. Can you stop the puck for the money we pay you? Can you get me to the Stanley Cup? I'm not in a personal relationship with you. I pay money to go to the games. You give me entertainment. We have a show. This is what we do. I don't care about the fucking family. How many times you've been divorced? How many times you cheated? I don't care. They don't care about me.
That's right.
Do you see Henrik tweeting? Eddie Geick lost 2 pounds this week. Real tears.
From B Doobie 17. I'm crying real tears. Jim Schmiedeberg's daughter just graduated kindergarten.
I could care less. From a humanity standpoint, okay. All right, a good guy had a kid. Big fucking deal.
Good for him. Good for everybody.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Who cares? Crying tears. How involved are you with this Henrik? Maybe it's a Henrik Lundqvist. I know a lot of women love him and, like, you know, adore him, but let's see. And like you said, with the kid thing, like, it's a little creepy.
There's a line, you know? And I think, hello? You there,
yeah.
Ed? Oh.
I'm here.
Did we lose Eddie?
Oh, not again. I'm right here.
No, I know. You're there. I was getting, like, weird, like you dropped your headset or something.
And I was adjusting myself.
Oh,
the microphone.
Nice.
Network.
Now it's a party. Yeah, it's just, and I'm not going to lie to you. Some of the ones I saw are at least semi-regular listeners to this show and participators in the chat room and participators in our group. I mean,
Adam from Chicago was the real tears, huh?
I mean, let's face it. There are some, and here's my thing, okay? When you sit there, and Lord knows, we've got female Ranger fans, and there are female hockey fans that know a shitload about hockey. A shitload of about hockey. Gina knows a lot about hockey. Tracy knows a lot about hockey. Marcy Braverman knows a lot about hockey. Sue Papagallo knows a lot about hockey.
Yeah.
Howie, oh wait, never mind. I'm just kidding, Howie. But these fangirls, and I'm sorry, I'm going to use that term because that's what some of them are. Fangirls, the way they star fuck these players, everywhere these players are. And oh, I was talking to Henrik Lundqvist last night. Oh, I'm at the casino night, and I'm here, and I'm out in the street, and I'm at Cafe 31, and I'm there when he gets out of his car, and I'm at the gas station when he's there, and I'm at the bakery, and I'm at Starbucks. Henrik Lundqvist, here I am, and oh, I was talking to him about this, and he'll remember me.
He doesn't want you. He doesn't know you.
Give them 5 minutes to themselves. You mentioned, I guess the point I was trying to get to is that these ones that star fuck these guys make the ones that the girls that the women that know their hockey they make them look bad.
And I think the girls that know the women who know about hockey, they don't like the puck bunnies. They don't like the stalkers and all that. They give them a bad name. That's what I think. They what you call it? You know, the ones who know hockey don't want to be lumped into that category, and they certainly shouldn't be.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know Adam, he gets accused of being a puck bunny because he's in love with Steve Emminger, but we don't get on him. We don't, you know, we let him in. We don't give him a lot of guff because he's got that crush on Stevie. But it's true.
I follow all these Rangers. I follow all the ones that are on Twitter. I follow them. I don't sit there trying to talk to them all day long. Happy birthday, sweetie. I love you. I see messages like that. Oh, honey, have a good day. I'd throw my smartphone in the Hudson River if I saw shit like that.
Imagine we got that.
Yeah.
We got that, like, on Twitter. I'll just go throw it in. Like, Emily Lauren sends it to me, and it was like, have a nice day, sweetie. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Costa sends me one of those messages every morning.
Oh, well, yeah, she's a nice girl. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Do they understand that they don't even read this shit?
Yeah, and some of them, yeah, you know, some of them interact more than others. Some of them interact a lot, some not at all. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. I think it's weird. You know, it's like, all right, he had a baby. Good for him. Hey, I'm crying real tears.
Oh,
why?
That's preposterous.
Why?
Why? Yeah, exactly.
I could somewhat understand, okay, if, God forbid, there was a situation where this was a let's say, a difficult birth. Maybe Henrik and his wife had struggled for years to have a baby. Maybe the wife was in a coma, God forbid, for 8 months before she had the baby. You know, if it was something like that where it was like a real baby. The baby.
Oh, good for you.
Exactly. The baby.
The baby. What happened? What happened to Binsky? How does the baby? A week ago. There was none of this. I'm crying real tears for Dubinsky. His wife. Nobody cared about her. And that kid. Where's the Dubinsky love? Because he only had 8 goals last year, whatever he had, that mook.
It's creepy. You guys get creepy with these players, with the Twitter.
Well, how about this? Speaking about creepy, and they brought it up in the chat room. What is going on with that ESPN body issue with Brad Richards and that? Do I really see Bucky Beaver in the buff?
Well, hey, we turned them down, so they had to go with somebody.
Yeah, really? It would have had to be a 4-page spread if it was me. Hell out of here.
They're going to have us in the champagne glass up at the Mount Airy Lodge.
Mount Airy Lodge.
Beautiful Mount Airy Lodge.
Brother.
Thank you, Paulie. All right. You ready? We'll go to the phone?
Yeah, I think we'll rank it out.
Bang this out in an hour? All right. 516-754. Is this Rock?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Rock. What's going on, buddy?
How's it going?
Good.
I'm just dying here, hearing about these fans tweeting about Lundqvist's kid. People get so carried away with this stuff. I mean, congratulations, but like I said, Eddie, I agree with you more than anything else. Stop the puck, get us to a Stanley Cup, and then maybe we'll shed some tears. I'm not shedding tears for anyone's kid, with all due respect, especially for someone I don't even know.
Real tears.
So, exactly. But just moving on, I mean, not the guy, I don't want to get into that so much, but it's funny, you know, you read Twitter and these people are going crazy over these minor league signings, and Sather does it every year. And people don't notice it because 9 times out of 10, the Rangers free agency, the big free agent moves or the big trades that they've made have happened normally on July 1st, July 2nd. Very rarely have they gone extended into the summer. And every year he's done these menial signings. It's just people just haven't been paying attention to it because everyone's waiting for Nash, for Ryan, for Weber, for Keith Yandel. I mean, you name it, they've all been connected to the Rangers one way or another. So, you know, listen, everyone complained last year in the playoffs that the team had no depth. They had no NHL experience. They're going out, they're adding depth players, and they're adding them for a pretty reasonable amount of money. So you know what? You can't really complain so far with anything that Sather's done this offseason because we all know that he wants Rick Nash. And we all know that he's working towards hopefully improving the team, not only up front, but on the back end. So, you know, if he can cut corners and add players for reasonable prices, you know what, I'm all for that. Because like you said, I mean, we have a lot of guys coming up in, that are coming up that are RFAs over the next few years. And you don't want to be locked into stupid contracts for guys that don't really deserve it. I mean, I think Sather has been smart this offseason, not giving bad contracts. I mean, this is probably the first time in a long time that he hasn't given out a stupid contract. So, you know, I don't know what people are waiting for, but I just think people are clamoring because this whole Nash thing is hanging over everyone's head. And I don't know if you guys remember. I'm sure you don't, but the summer the Rangers got Eric Lindros, this summer, this offseason reminds me a lot of that, because the only significant signing they made was Greg DeVries. And reminds me a lot of that. And they didn't sign anybody big. You know, they were going after Yager, and then Yager wound up getting shipped out to Washington. Basically, that was a spiteful move on Craig Patrick's part, because Yager wanted to come to New York, and he took a crappy package from Washington and sent Yager packing to Washington, and then they finally got Lindros. And they didn't get Lindros until the end of August. So you know what? If this is the same team, if this is what the team they have, and now we're talking late August, early September, then you start bitching and moaning, well, what are they improving this team? But until then, you know what? Let's see what happens. I mean, there's a lot of time between now and opening night. And, you know, let's see what happens, because obviously he's trying to do something.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. But, I mean, I certainly think that, you know, he's got everybody on the cheap. I mean, you know, I mean, this, you know, we're not talking about any some ridiculous contracts. And matter of fact, one of the guys that left, like my Pruss contract, to me is a ridiculous contract, way overpaying. He hasn't done any of that. But what happens, Rock? Let's say this happens. No Nash comes.
Mm-hmm.
What do we got left? Now, is it a good offseason for Clint Sather? That's what my question is.
Well, I look at it this way. For whatever reason, and maybe the cap going up $8 million plays a big factor into this, that everybody's in on everybody. Normally, there's only certain teams that have money. This offseason, everyone seems to have money. And basically, these free agents are able to pick really wherever they want to go. And they're going to get the same money. So if they want to be close to home, they're going to get the same money whether they play, you know, here or there. So, they're, you know, I guess it really all depends on if they don't get Nash, they don't get Ryan. I guess it really all depends on where they go. I don't know, because I don't think the East has gotten better. I think Pittsburgh has gotten worse. I think Philly hasn't gotten much better. You know, I don't think the Eastern Conference has gotten better in general. So, you know, you got a full season of Kreider. You know, that's a great question. I think you leave yourself, if you can't get Nash, you can't get Ryan, you can't get Shea Weber, you don't go crazy and just try to fill the hole with anybody. Maybe you take a flyer on a one-year deal on a fringe guy. Hopefully you catch lightning in a bottle. And you leave your salary cap space free for, you know, for the season, when maybe there's somebody else becomes available. You know, off a one-year deal or whatever, and you know, maybe go that route. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that anyone in the East has gotten significantly better. We should be worried that we're going to take a step back. Like I said, the only concern is that we're not going to have Gabrick till November, and you know, there's no guarantee. I mean, we saw Yager have a shoulder injury, not to the magnitude that Gabrick had. Or not to the magnitude that Gabbert, more to a magnitude than Gabbert, excuse me. And you saw how long it took Yager to come back. Now, Yager was a little bit older, he was a bigger body, had a shoulder separation, a little bit of a different injury. But shoulder injuries are weird because they take a long time for you to really start feeling strong again in that arm. And despite the fact that these guys are superior athletes, they are playing a pretty intense sport. And It doesn't always come back as quickly as you'd like. So that's my only reason for concern. Because you figure if they come back with the same exact team and all these other teams have gotten not either stayed status quo have gotten worse, you know, I don't know. I thought
the Rangers,
that's a great point.
The, the Rangers' bread and butter is the defense and goaltending. And that has stayed the same. Could be better. Could be the same. I mean, that's how they're going to win games is defense. The problem is once you get into the playoffs, we saw as last year turned out, they just couldn't get that timely goal scoring, couldn't get enough goal scoring in the playoffs to really to get past the first two rounds rather easily, so they wouldn't be dog tired by the time they got to the semis.
Right.
And that's how I broke it down. They played too many games, and they played too many one goal games, and they just couldn't score. Now, they're going to go a year without addressing that if they don't get Nash or Bobby Ryan. So, if that happens. Now, I agree with you. I don't think the other teams have improved that much. I think the Rangers will be in the mix again. Some guys will surprise us. Some guys will have, lesser years. Perhaps if Dubinsky doesn't go, Dubinsky has a better year this year. Who knows? We don't know. But I think a lot of Ranger fans are going to be really disappointed because each time they sign one of these guys, you always see it. Oh, give us the cup. That's the comment. We got the cup now. We got, Brandon Siegel, give us the cup. But, but the thing is that sometimes they have to fill these positions. They've lost some guys, and you're right. Maybe you make a move at the trading deadline just because you go into the season. The Rangers have a good enough team as is, even without Gavrik, to be a playoff team. You know, the question is, will they be able to make a Stanley Cup run again? And we'll see. Without Gavrik, it's gonna be rough. I think it's gonna be rougher than we think.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, the thing, too, that you need to really focus on, too, is if they can maybe get another defenseman in here that can just log, that you can put out there and not be worried. You know, if you can roll three sets of defensemen, I mean, that would be huge, too. So if they can go out and get themselves – I mean, I was looking at the free agent class. I mean, Kabina's out there. I'm not crazy about him. He didn't play that great in Philly. Spotcheck was another guy. Just another guy, a veteran guy, that you can play in the third pair, that can log some minutes, can log 10, 15 minutes, and give these guys a break, that Girardi and McDonough and Stahl and Delzato and all these guys are now playing 30 minutes, 32 minutes a game.
That's one John Tortorella cannot be playing these guys 20, 25 minutes a game. It's just, it can't happen. You have to have trust in all your six defensemen. The Kings,
Absolutely.
A guy played 10 minutes, 12 minutes, whatever he did. I forgot the guy's name. There's six guy. That's how you do it. You cannot play these guys to death. They're going to get hurt. You're rolling the dice, especially when they blocked so many shots. They were extremely lucky not to get any injuries really significantly on the back line last year.
Right.
And so
I wanted to throw one other thing at you guys, and I wanted your opinion on this. The Ports line was on WFAN. I don't know if you heard it with Mark Melusis over the weekend. And I know Jim brought it up, and he said that basically this guy's Housen's spokesperson, so to speak. And, he plays it off really good. This guy's on every radio station. I mean, if you follow him on Twitter, he's in Toronto. I mean, this guy must do three phone interviews a day. I mean, he's all over the place. So I give him a lot of credit. I mean, and he answers the same question every day because I try to listen to all the interviews to kind of see if he alters from the New York market to a Toronto market to a Detroit or wherever he's talking from. I'm just curious to see where he's coming from. He mentioned a deal that if they traded them Dubinsky, Stefan, and a first-round pick, that would be enough to get Nash. And they were clamoring. This is my only gripe. You build a franchise up the middle and on the blue line. If you trade Stefan, who becomes your number two center? And are you creating another hole? I probably do it also. My only thing is that are you now creating a different hole by bringing in Nash and getting rid of Stefan? That means Anisimov becomes your second line center. That's really my only concern. I mean, I don't know if Stephon's ever – I don't like the way he's played in the playoffs the last two seasons. But then again, he's 22 years old.
I agree with you.
But I don't know. I mean, would people do that? I mean, is that a feasible trade? I mean, you know, I've also heard that there was a rumor out there where it was Dubinsky and Nesimov, Delzato, Christian Thomas in a first-round pick. That was another trade that was thrown about, a possibility. And I'm worried about giving up a defenseman. Because the team, let's be honest, with the question marks to Michael Sauer and their other defensemen kind of having question marks on them, Delgado was their fifth leading scorer last year. And they're most amongst defensemen. And despite, again, he had a mediocre playoff, he'd had his moments. He played better than Stephon. But do you need him for the regular season? I mean, there's a lot of things you have to worry about. Basically, are you borrowing from Peter to pay Paul? Are you bringing in Nash to make your team better, or is it going to stay status quo? Because are you giving too much away where you're basically just evening the deal out? I mean, that's really the fine line that we're dealing with right now, because if you're giving too much up your regular roster, you're in essence just borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. You're not improving. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, I think to a certain degree. I mean, I can't go through all the centers that Rick Nash has played for, but I don't remember any elite centers that he played for with Columbus. You know, the argument's made, you know, Stephon, but if we don't really think Stephon is good in the playoffs, why the hell we have him? If he's not going to be a playoff performer, I don't want you on the team.
Great.
I'm not thinking about getting to the playoffs anymore. We got a good enough defense and goaltending where I got to think the conference – of force every year. And if you can't perform in the playoffs, you can't be on the team. Sorry.
I agree.
Huh?
Hey, Rock, listen, we got to move on. We got to take some other calls.
Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Buddy?
Have a great night. If I haven't said it once, I said it a million times. Thank you again for doing the show. You guys are awesome. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks again.
All right. Our pleasure. Take it easy.
Later.
Costa.
Yeah, what up?
What's going on?
Radio Gold, my friends. Radio Gold.
Which one?
Which part?
Hank's baby. Radio Gold. Radio
the baby?
Gold.
Who gives a shit?
Lundquist's
baby. I laughed my balls off. That was hilarious.
So I don't know. What do I care about anybody? It's like last year in the playoffs. Oh, we got to give Delzato a break. His grandmother died. I don't care. Call me heartless. He's a professional. How many guys had to work when their grandmother died? You know, they had to do important things. I mean, listen, you gotta suck it up. It's a game. Play for 2 hours, then you go mourn. Anyway.
The Nash trade, you know, I can deal. I'm willing to give up Delzato. I'm willing to give up Dubinsky. I'm willing to give up Anisimov. Steps? You know. I don't know. I don't, you know.
You're still going to give him another chance? I mean, I like Stephon.
Yeah, I like him too.
I just wanted to see some progress, and I didn't get it last year. That's why I'm disappointed.
I think he got more points last year than his rookie year.
Yeah, but he had less goals. He played with Gaborik, which I think helped him out in the assist department.
Yeah.
The playoffs is the bread and butter. This is what we've got to do now. And he was invisible in the playoffs. I mean, he had one good game, as I remember.
You think he was playing hurt?
I think he played a lot of hockey last year. I remember last year, after his rookie season, he went and he played in the World Championships. Like, you know, dude, and then we played overseas to start the thing. I think he played too much hockey. You gotta take that time off. I think he was tired. Look like he had a war.
He ran out of gas, in other words.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a college player. I know it's his second year, but still. He looked drained. And that's true. Joe D mentioned that too, and we've mentioned it when Brooks Orpik hit him. That may have been the one that, come on, how many games do you have to recover from that? Come on, players get hit all the time. 30 games later, he was still feeling the effects? I don't know. We'll see. There was no surge.
Who do you hope surprises us at camp?
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, they got to give up something. And like Rock said, the Rangers will be short center Iceman then. But I think when you bring in a guy, an elite guy like Rick Nash, you got to give up something. They're going to want somebody young. I don't know. I'm on the fence with the whole thing now. Depends what's involved.
I agree with Eddie, though. You know, at some point, you just get sick of hearing about it. Do it or don't do it. Deal or no deal, you know?
Yeah.
It's enough. We got Stanley Cups to win. I got no time to sit around for Rick Nash. I got no time for this. Dale Howson in Columbus.
Yeah, just because they want to make some kind of headlines, get some heat over there in Columbus, because nobody cares about Ohio. Hockey in Ohio. Who gives a shit?
All right, Costa.
All right, guys.
All right. All right.
Talk to you soon. Yeah.
Make sure you tweet me if anybody has a baby.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Real tears.
All right, we got two calls left.
Leave Brittany alone! That guy, leave Brittany alone.
Yeah.
612-432.
What's up, guys?
Chandler. Oh. Duping us with a new number.
Yeah. No fucking deal, by the way. No deal.
Ding.
No fucking deal. No wondering. Because you know where I stand on the whole Rick Nash thing. If I got to gut this fucking team that I've been waiting since 94 for, then fuck him. All right? I understand we need a goal scorer. I don't want to gut the fucking team. Now, if House is dumb enough to take the three guys that I think the guy's name was Rick was talking about, if House is dumb enough to take that deal, then hell yeah, make that deal. But if it's the deal that House should be making, which is basically three quarters of our fucking team and half our draft picks, then fuck him. Rick Nash isn't worth that. He's not. I understand he's an elite player. He's not worth half the fucking team. He's not. If we give him half the team, how the hell are we going to win? We couldn't win a cup with a fucking full team. How are we going to win a cup with half a team? And it's like, oh, yeah, we give up this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. Okay, who's going to play with him? Let's give up Stepan. Let's give up Delzato. Let's give up Girardi. Let's give up this guy. Let's give up Dubinsky. Who the fuck is he going to play with then? Then you're going to say, oh, we don't have enough players. We've got to go get more players. I mean,
I agree with you. I mean, you're right. As fans, long-time radio fans, we waited a long time to get these young guys, and they're going to throw, what, five young guys to get Rick Nash?
It's not that it's guys that haven't played. It's guys that we've been playing for 2 years, and we want to get rid of all of them. So we're going to get rid of five or six players to get one guy. How do we replace the five guys? Because
guys
in the minors aren't ready yet. They're not. They're not ready yet. So who's going to replace them? Jeff fucking Halpern? Bugsy Siegel? Fucking Aaron Asham? Really? Then we've been bitching about that. Oh, how can they go sign up? Why don't we have fucking this guy, that guy?
They're not going to give up five guys. That's Chandler's Bluto impersonation. I love it. Five guys for Nash.
But my point is, if Housen is a halfway decent GM, right? Rick Nash is under his control for the next 7 years or 5 years or whatever the fuck it is, right? He doesn't have to trade Rick Nash, so he can ask for the moon. And somebody's gonna be dumb enough to give it to him because somebody gave Ole Jokinen $5 million fucking dollars a year. Somebody gave Brandon Prust $10 million. All right? The Minnesota Wild gave two guys $200 million. Somebody's going to give him five or six fucking guys because these GMs are morons, apparently. So somebody's going to give it to him. I just don't want it to be us. I just don't want it to be us. Because when you have a player like that, you can ask for the moon, and somebody's going to be dumb enough to give it to you. I just don't want it to be us. That's all I'm saying. I don't want it to be us. Because if you look at some of these free agent signings, what the hell are these guys smoking?
Yeah. I think with Sather getting some accolades this year for having a young team and the Rangers are building, I can't see them trading that many. I do see them trading maybe a guy that we think that is young and should stay. Whether it be Michael Delzato or Derek Stepan, I could see two starters from our team for one and some draft picks and maybe a prospect. That's how I see it going down if it goes down. I don't think they're going to gut the whole team to get Rick Nash. But you do see that out there.
If they can do that, that's fine. But if they have to give him more than three starters from last year's team, plus a couple of guys from minors, plus draft picks, that's too much. To me, that's too much. Now, to other people, it might be worth it. To me, it's not. You know, I just can't see it. You know, I would rather let the 21-year-old defenseman grow a couple of more years. I know everybody thinks Delzado's a fucking bum. He's still only 21, 22 years old. He's still only 21, 22 years old. Can we let him grow up? And can the coach play more than three fucking defensemen?
Well, that's my problem.
And you guys know how I feel about Torres. I think he's done a great job. He's fucking killing me. You can't not play guys. You can't not play guys in this year. Well, he has to trust people. The fuck are you going to trust him if you never put him on the ice?
You are killing me.
I don't trust you enough to play, but you won't let me play so I can prove you can trust me. It's a catch-22. You know, Delzado, he failed in the playoffs. He was tired because he was worn out. Stepan was worn out. Dan Girardi's probably been in a coma since the season ended. Dan Girardi's probably been asleep since the season ended. And they might seen him. They might seen him outside. Probably been asleep since the fucking season ended.
I agree with you. The most infuriating thing to me, well, there's two things about Tortorella. The absolute ridiculousness with the defensemen that he's got to play them to death with three guys getting the major bulk of the minutes, and the fact that nobody can crack the lineup after the, you know, he finds out who he can trust through 41 games, and that's it. You're locked in. There's no guys can be brought in, no minor league of first spark. It's your made men. Whoever's been made, they're made. Those are the two biggest things with him. So. But Chandler, they're going crazy for you in this chat room tonight. They're saying your radio goal.
I got my girlfriend in my fucking back just sucking the life out of shit for me. It's a lot going on, and then I keep seeing on Facebook these fucking people. Oh, this guy's a Harper. That's the worst signing ever. He's a fucking beast cannon fodder. Who cares if he signed Jeff Halpern? Why are they fucking posts on Facebook? Oh, they signed Jeff Halpern. That's the worst thing ever. Are you fucking kidding me? He's a fourth liner. Why are people getting wired up about fourth and third liners? So what? He signed it. So what? Is that going to make or break our season? No, it's really not. It's not. I can't. Some days I just can't. I can't. I just can't. It's just... Let me have this team. Can you let me have my young team for 5 minutes before you want to trade every fucking time? Can you let me have my team for 5 minutes before you trade everybody?
Well, that's the thing. It's that, Ranger fans, it came July 1st. It's Christmas time. Everybody wants a new present. Everybody wants the shiny new toy. And we haven't been able to resist the shiny new toy, and I think it's time maybe we do resist that shiny new toy. I think you've won me over.
You know, and if I hear one general manager say when during these CBA negotiations that the salaries are out of control, I swear to God, I will kneecap that something. Did you see the salaries they're giving? Did you see what y'all are like 80 years old and got almost $5 million? I don't want to hear about people not having money. I don't want to hear about small market teams. I want to fucking hear it. I want to hear it. I don't want to hear another thing about the NHL has no money. If you can give fucking Olli Jokinen $4.5 million to go play in Winnipeg, I don't want to hear it. I don't. I don't. They said, well, I want to help the team take the next step. Where, you fucking bastard? But as far as the Rangers go, I like the team. Yes, we need to tweak some things. We need to add some scoring. But if it entails gutting the team, you know, I mean, how's that Dustin Penner trade I kept talking about last season sound now? Okay? And I said, we need a big forward. How's that Dustin Penner trade sound now? He helped L.A. win a fucking cup. And we go, oh, Dustin Penner, he's a bum. Yeah, well, you know what? He helped L.A. win a cup. How's that sound right about now, that damn Dustin Penner trade for a bag of pucks? We could have got him last year. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying. You know, there's guys out there that, with a change of scenery, could do just as well as all these guys we want to gut the team for. You know, how about we be smart for a change and actually get, you know, value for the players we're going to give up? But, you know, what do I know? I'm just some guy on the fucking phone.
Listen, hey, listen, I listened to the whole thing. I agree with you. What do you think about Jeff Halpern? Well.
All right, Chandler, listen, we'll let you go.
All right, God.
Always a pleasure.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man.
Take care, man.
All right. We got one more call, and then we're going to finish this up. But before we get to the last phone call, I wanted to read you this really quick. These are our reviews on iTunes. You want to hear this real quick? This is just a couple of quick one-liners about us. This is what people are saying about our show on iTunes. Are you there?
All right. Yeah.
Top Hoobafoo, best Rangers radio show. Guys are absolutely hilarious and always up for a good joke. Awesome. Let's go, Rangers. Wish you guys would figure out the Skype delay so you didn't step on each other, but it's a great show anyway. We just both never got up. That's the problem. J36466, love these guys. Great NYR podcast. BS Zen 27, extremely entertaining. Best Rangers show out there. Slee Rat, great show, great topics. Our own Terry Lynn, the Lone Ranger, the best Rangers podcast out there. Blue Shirt Underground is the best New York Rangers podcast out there. Jim and Eddie are hilarious, and the callers and regular guests represent the voice of the true New York Ranger fans. 46 Chrome Boy, love the Rangers. These guys are a riot. Look forward to each episode. Always a laugh. Keep it going. JM3RR24, best Rangers-centric podcast out there. Sure as hell helps the work week go by. And this is my favorite one. Big D64. Funny. These guys make me laugh and forget my sad and pathetic life.
Oh, Jesus.
We appreciate it. Yes, you can find us on iTunes by searching for Blue Shirt Underground Radio or just New York Rangers. And you can find all our shows on there. All right. Now, we are going to go across the pond if I can make this work. Let me see. Where are you? Contacts, show out. No, that's not right. Where the fuck did my ding? Where did my call? Mark, call me. I was going to try and call you, but it's not working. So just call in if you're still listening. You're still in the chat room, so give us a call. We'll put you right on. Other than that, we'll be back, I guess.
Jeff fucking Halpern show.
Jeff fucking Halpern. There he is. All right, let's see. Add to conference call. Here we go.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. No deal on Rats. No deal.
No deal on what?
On Rick Nash.
Rick Nash? You don't want him.
At the right price, but we're not going to get the right price. This guy is the reason they have a hockey franchise. Are we going to get him for Derek Stepan and Dubinsky and a pig? No. It's going to cost a lot more than that. And I'd like Shane Doan, but again, I don't think he's going to come.
Well, he's hemming and hawing. He really doesn't want to leave Phoenix. It's the only franchise he's ever known. So he's giving them, I think, every opportunity to straighten their shit out. Whether or not it's going to happen, who knows? But he said that he would wait until July 9th to make a decision. And now apparently he stretched that out to the 16th. So,
I don't think we'll get him. He would be the guy that I'd want, but again, it's not going to happen. You know, I want Steve Stamkos, but again, that's not going to happen either.
Right.
I mean, the moves we made so far. I'm sad to see Push go. You know, I'm not in love with the guy, so I can see him go. But you know, it was a brilliant player last year. But is he worth $2.5 million? No. Then. I think Halpin does the job that we need him to do. I think he's going to win faceoffs. But
I agree. Yeah.
I think we didn't win it this year, and I think next year we're going to go in with exactly the same team. Shuffled down to third and fourth line, but I think I don't even think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think you know we're going to get a full season of Kreider. We're going to get Hagelin's second year, hopefully. Hopefully, if we keep him, Dubinsky, at least, well, just double what he did last year would be good enough. But I think we'll be all right next year, even if we didn't make a move. You know, this is what we have now.
$4 million, I hope that Brandon Dubinsky has a better season. He's got to have a better season. If not, set him down with Redden. Well, Redden's done, but for $4 million, we got to send pucks in the net from Brandon. I mean, he's got to step up, you know.
Yeah.
He really needs to.
But I mean, with Dubinsky and with Gabrick injured, sorry, you know, if we don't make a move, he's going to get every chance to play as much minutes as he earns, really, isn't he? You know, he's going to get a hell of a chance next year if he's still on this team, so... If he doesn't do it next year when he's got that much chance, just get him gone any way possible. And I'm a big Dubinsky fan, or I wasn't until last year anyway. But
everything good in the UK? What do they got? That football over there? What are they doing over there?
Got the Olympics coming up over there.
We got the Olympics, yeah.
I was reading today they're going to charge £7 for a pint of beer at the Olympics.
That's cheap. That is actually quite cheap for like a big event like that. Because I go and watch the NFL every year in London.
Yeah.
And it costs £10 for a pint of beer.
Oh.
Which is...
Boy.
I don't know what that's in dollars. It's about $18, I think. Something like that.
Wow.
Wow. That's crazy. That's some cray. That shit cray, as we say here in the United States.
I went to a concert a couple weeks ago. The beers were $10. I was bitching about that.
I usually avoid that when I go to that game. But, no, everything over here is pretty good. Because obviously we don't get great hockey news over here. Has anything been said about the lockout?
Well, I think they started negotiating.
Because I'm hoping they're going to be playing in December, because I'm probably going to be in New York for 2 weeks in December. I'd like there to be hockey on.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm going to have to go meet you.
We'll
meet in an undisclosed location.
Well, Mark, listen, we're going to wrap up the show, but thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you next week if you're awake.
Yeah, I will be.
All right. Take care, my brother.
Take care, Mark.
Yeah, bye.
All right, let's see. I always have trouble with this now. All right. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I did that correctly. Are you ready to wrap this up?
Yeah, let's wrap this shit up, as they say.
All right. I guess we'll be back next Wednesday night, unless something happens sooner, and we'll put a show together sooner, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, right now, Jim, I'm if it happens, it happens. I'm sick and tired of waiting. You know, it's getting too dragged out. And, you know, listen, I'm with Chandler. You know, we have a lot of young players. And even Mark, who alluded to, you know, Haglin, who struggled at the end of last season, in the playoffs and at the end of the last season, he could have a better year. Friday could have a super year. Gadsel Gabrick comes back. They could find scoring if DaVinci has a better year. There is possibilities. For some upside from some guys. And
right.
So we'll see what happens.
But one thing I worry about with Kreider is the same thing that happened with Haglin. Once he gets past the 60-game mark, does he start wearing down? Because he's not used to it.
Yeah. Right.
So we'll see. All right, everybody. Yes. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to everybody that called in. Rock, Chandler, Costa, Mark over in the UK. We love you. Eddie.
Good night, everybody. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and whatever.
MySpace, iPod, all that shit.
Smoke signals.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.